So how's your hearing? I'm not talking about your physical hearing. I'm talking about how well that you hear. You see, as we've been considering the things that could be holding us back, it might just be we're not listening. It's not that we can't hear. It's that we're, as one lady put it to me, we're choosing not to hear. The Beverly Hills Supper Club, as you may have guessed, was just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. But that didn't keep it from being the venue that you would want to go to in the 70s. If you had a wedding, a bar mitzvah, or some kind of celebration, chances are you would rent out a room at the Beverly Hills Supper Club. Not only was it events, the private events like that, they would have very big acts that would come through. On May 28, 1977, it was John Davidson coming in to entertain a Hollywood entertainer with his song and dance routine. People were packing the house, not only for his act, but for others. But that night, something tragic would happen. That evening in the cabaret room, in the kitchen, a fire broke out. Now, the Beverly Hills Supper Club was a sprawling complex. Had several different rooms. It was one of those places that once you went into, it might be hard to get out of. And so, while the fire started in one of the back rooms of the area, most of the other facility wasn't affected. When the fire broke out at 9:01, the police were called. Calls went out to the fire department. And the fire trucks responded by 9:05. They were on scene to put out the fire. But the problem was, the fire was spreading fast. By 9:06, a busboy by the name of Walter Bailey goes into the main cabaret room where the big act was on that night. Of course, he was a young man. He was nervous. He hadn't ever really spoken in front of the crowd, but he knew it was a dire emergency. So he went up to the front of the stage. He told everyone to look to their left, look to their right, look behind them. There you would see exits. You need to leave the premises immediately. But what happened? Well, most people just looked around at what everyone else was doing. Most people just sat there wondering what was going on, what was happening. And they waited. And they didn't have the time. By 9:10, the power went out into the entire building, causing panic. Two of the three exits of the cabaret room were now blocked by fire. The one remaining exit, everyone was trying to spill out of all at once. And as you can imagine, they began to be backed up. By the end of the night, 165 people died. More than 200 were injured as the result of the blaze. Of course, anytime you have a tragedy like this, the investigators come. What happened? Why did it go so wrong? How did so many people die in a place that they should have been able to get out of? Many considered that there was a bad design, or maybe it was poor exits, or maybe just poor construction. While all of these contributed to the disaster, there was one huge problem. It wasn't that people weren't warned. It was they failed to heed the warning. They were told, but they didn't listen. Now, before we are too hard on these people, before we look at them and say, well, that wouldn't have been me, consider yourself. Consider what we do with the warnings we are given. I remember once I was sitting at a table of people from church, and we were all sitting there, and all of a sudden every one of our phones went off, and it came up and it said, tornado warning in your area. And you know what everybody there did? They turned off their phone and sat back down and kept talking. Because it wasn't raining yet. Yeah, it wasn't raining outside. Well, that didn't mean anything. Right? It could have been so near to us we wouldn't have known, but everybody just assumed, well, that's meant for someone else. Have you been in a store where the fire alarm goes off? And you look around and no one's exiting the store, so you just continue what you're doing? You see, sometimes the warning is there, but we fail to heed the warning. You know, the Hebrew writer, five different times, he gives a warning. A warning to Christians. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 1 and 3, he gives two of those. He says, "For this reason we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. The word spoken through angels proved on altar, and every transgression and disobedience proved a just penalty. How will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation?" In Hebrews chapter 3 and 7 through 12, he says, "Take care, brethren, that none of you has an evil." This slide will not stay put. It must be, yeah. "Has an unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God." Hebrews 5:11 says, "Concerning we have much to say, it is hard to explain because you have become dull of hearing." In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25, it says, "See through that you not refuse him who is speaking. For those who did not escape when they refused him who warned on earth, much less will escape those who will return from he who warns from heaven." Five different times the Hebrew writer makes a warning. Pay close attention. How will we escape if we neglect the salvation? Make sure that none of you take care that you do not have an unbelieving heart. Make sure that you have not become dull of hearing. Make sure you do not refuse him who is speaking. Five times he gives us a warning. But the question is, are we listening to those warnings? How are we hearing? It may be the thing that we're lacking is we don't heed the warning. You know, the prophet Ezekiel said in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verses 4 and 5, he warns the Israelites there about what would happen if they didn't listen. He says, "He who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, and a sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take the warning, his blood will be on himself. For if he had taken the warning, he would have delivered his life." See, many people are on the verge of losing not only their lives, but their souls, because we're not listening to those warnings. So why is it that we might not be heeding the warning? Why is it that we might not be doing what it says? Well, it may be because we're not paying attention. Isn't that what the Hebrew writer said? We must pay closer attention to what we have heard. You see, it's very easy for us to become distracted by anything and everything. The day-to-day living of life, right? We talked about that Sunday. We talked about how we can be so caught up in all the things we have going on that we miss the important things. You know, Jesus talked about that in Luke chapter 17 and verses 26 through 29. About what was happening in the days of Noah. He said, "It happened in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. As they were eating and drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." It was the same in the days of Lot, where they were eating and drinking and buying and selling and planting and building. But the day Lot came out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. What is the warning? Everything was going on as they expected it to go on. Everything was happening just the way it always happened, right? Life was going on. People were doing what they do every day. But there had been a warning. Noah, the preacher of righteousness, had preached the warning. The men that had come had warned about the coming destruction. Lot told his family they were going to destroy the city, but they didn't listen. You know, you probably heard of Washington's famous crossing of the Delaware. You know, it's one of those images that we associate with the Revolution. Washington on Christmas crossed the Delaware to attack the British. But do you realize that that attack should have failed and Washington should have been captured? You see, the day of the attack, there were rumors that were going around among the Loyalists that what Washington was going to do. And attempts were made to tell the British officials about it. In fact, the one official, his name was Johann Ball, was the Hessian colonel that was in charge of the troops. That night, one farmer saw Washington and his people loading up on their boats. And he went to the place where the general was. But they wouldn't allow him in because the general was busy. He was busy playing cards. And so he wrote him a note that told him what Washington was doing, and the note was handed to him. But rather than read it, he just folded it up and put it in his pocket, continued to play cards, continued to drink, and never bothered to read it. Well, the next morning, while he was drunk and asleep, Washington attacks. They've crossed the Delaware, and it was too late to do anything about it. He had the warning in his hand, in his pocket, but he never bothered to read it. What will happen to us if we neglect such a great salvation? If we're not paying attention? If we're too distracted to hear what God is trying to tell us? We need to be careful that we don't neglect that salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we're told, "No temptation has overtaken you, that which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you were able, but with the temptation provide a way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." What's that passage telling us? You know, oftentimes when we read that passage, we think, well, we're never going to be tempted. We're never given more than what we can handle. But be careful about that, because this passage is specifically talking about temptation. But it also tells us that when we are tempted, God will provide a way of escape. The problem is we always think that that way of escape is going to come when? At the end. We can hang in there for a long time, and when it's getting too close, well, we can jump out. But you know, sometimes the way of escape comes a lot earlier. And if we don't take it when it's there, we might miss the opportunity. Beverly Hills Supper Club, when the warning was given, if you would have left, you would have been fine. But 4 minutes later, there was no escape. Do we know? Then do we act? You see, we can neglect that salvation. We can think that we have more time. We can put it off till, well, I have all this other stuff to do. We can put it off when we think, well, when I'm older, when the kids are gone, when whatever. What happens when we neglect the warning? We will miss the opportunity to escape. We also need to be careful to heed the warning about not having an unbelieving heart. I grew up in Southwest Oklahoma. I always told people we were the 10 pin of Tornado Alley. I grew up in the springtime, you just knew you were going to have storms, and those storms quite often would contain tornadoes. And so, you know, I always said, you know, in other realms of the world, the weather person, they usually get some cute girl or get some funny acting guy. In Southwest Oklahoma, the weatherman, he had to be he was the celebrity. You know, to this day, you know, people like Gary England, if you know anything about Oklahoma, they're considered to be these high-end people because they're the weatherman that warns you about the tornado. I know our local station, when they hired a guy and he didn't seem to take it seriously, man, they ran him off quick because that's serious business. But here's what I learned about living in Southwest Oklahoma. If they gave a tornado warning and it didn't hit, the next time we had one, people were going to die. There was going to be a great danger. You know why? Because escaping it didn't mean we took it so well. Because once they warned us and it didn't come to pass, the tornado didn't drop, it veered off to the other side, everyone would say, well, they don't know what they're talking about. So the next time when they called it, what would they say? Ah, it's nothing. And sometimes it wasn't nothing. Sometimes the sky was falling, and sometimes the danger was there. You see, sometimes we're that way. The more we hear a warning, the less we pay attention to it. And sometimes you hear that in hurricanes, in places, that they'll say, well, we never saw this coming. But they did, because just a few years before, they were warning about it, and it went the other way, and so people just forgot about that. Or people warned them for years and said these things aren't protected, the levees might break, there's not enough exits, but people didn't believe it. Because so, when the danger came, they were caught unprepared. In Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, we say, do you not know that the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. But because of your stubborn and unrepentant heart, you were storing up wrath for yourself on the day of revelation and the righteous judgment of God. God gives us a chance. But when we don't believe him, it doesn't mean things are going to change. God gives us a chance to repent. He gives us a warning so we can make a change, so we can be prepared, so we can do something. Are we truly believing him at his word? Or maybe we have become dull of hearing. Your alarm bells can be ignored. I had a friend that they had we had a fire drill in college. And he was known for being a long sleeper. And they had a fire drill that night. And the fire drill went off. And the next day we were talking about and complaining about how they had a fire drill in the middle of the night. And we had to get up. And he said, "We had a fire drill?" We said, "Yeah, didn't you hear it?" "No." I said, "Well, we know who's not going to make it out when it does burn, do we?" Just because the alarm bell's ringing doesn't mean we hear it. Just because the sermon's been preached didn't mean we paid attention to it. I had a preacher friend of mine years ago, and he said he couldn't tell you how many times he would have someone that would come to him in a moment of crisis. Something had gone wrong in their family. Some issue had come up, and they would come to him desperate, and they'd say, I wish you would preach on this topic. I wish you'd tell me something about this. I just don't know anything about it." And he said, 9 times out of 10, I would think, "I just preached on that. Just a few months ago, we spoke of it. Don't you remember?" But so many times we become dull of hearing. We let the words come in and go out. The preacher preaches a message. Sometimes, you know, preachers finish their lesson and they say, "The sermon is now yours." But what do we do with it? If it's ours, do we take it home? Do we put it in our hearts? Or do we just leave it on the pew as we walk out? Proverbs chapter 2 and 1 and 2 says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make sure your ear is attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding." Make sure we are listening. We tune our ears to the message that we hear. That we hear that warning. That we don't become dull of hearing. We don't think, "Well, I don't need that. It doesn't apply to me." Because in doing so, we might just miss what can save us. We also need to make sure that we don't refuse him who is speaking. See, the crowd in the cabaret room had someone that stood up that night and told them that they needed to leave. But I wonder if it would have been someone other than Walter Bailey, a busboy, would they have responded better? If it had been a manager, if it had been someone with a little more confidence in their voice, would they have left? I don't know. But it shouldn't matter. Because if someone's giving you a warning, if someone's speaking to you a truth, it shouldn't matter who it's saying to you. If the message is true. You see, sometimes we have a tendency to not heed the warning because of who is speaking to us. You know, sometimes, as we talked about last night, that crowd, when the crowd is saying one thing and someone else is saying another, we tend to follow the crowd. That's what most people in the cabaret room did. No one else was getting up and leaving, so why bother to listen to this young boy? What does he know? No one else seems concerned. But where did that lead to? Tragedy. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 24 and 29 says, "Because I called to you and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. You neglected my counsel and did not want my reproof, and I also laugh at your calamity. I will mock at you when your dread comes, when your dread comes like a storm and your calamity like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, and they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. God said, I reached out my hand, and no one paid attention. What did Ezekiel say? If you heard the trumpet, and you didn't respond, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. But God says here, if you don't listen, if you don't pay attention, you don't want my reproof, then I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll look at you and say, it's happening because you didn't listen, because you hated knowledge, because you did not choose the fear of the Lord. Unfortunately, too many people, they want to escape the consequences of their sin and not their sin. We don't want to live with the repercussions of it, but we still want to live with it. And that's a danger. Because God warns us against sin. He warns us against behavior that pulls us from Him. He warns us time and time again, don't do these things, don't be involved with them, don't be around those that do. But so many times, we don't listen to who's speaking to us. We refuse Him who is speaking. Sometimes when the preacher tells us something we don't like to hear, we get mad at the preacher. The elders make a stand on a topic and we don't agree with them, we get mad at the elders. Rather than looking and saying, are what they're telling me true? Is what they're telling me right? Is what they're standing for good? You see, we get sometimes caught up in looking at the messenger and not the message. But if it's truth, it comes from God. If God's will is being spoken, it shouldn't matter who is telling us. We should heed that warning. Unless we don't want to hear. Unless we're choosing not to believe. Unless we're being neglectful about what we are given. Unless we're not choosing to pay attention. See, here's the truth. So many times what we're lacking in is not something we don't know, but something we don't want to know. It's not something that we haven't been told, but something that we've chosen not to hear. Maybe because we just stuck our fingers in our ear and didn't listen. Who's the person who wants to most hear the warning? Who is the person who most wants the opportunity to change? The person who's in the midst of it all. Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 16 about a rich man and Lazarus. It's interesting because in all of Jesus' parables, no one else gets a name. Do you notice that? You know, the prodigal son, we call him the prodigal son because he was wasteful, but that's not his name, right? It just tells us a man had two sons, right? You know, we have a description of people sometimes, a Pharisee, you know, the Pharisee publican, those kind of things. But Lazarus, the only man that gets a name, but he's the man who's the most mistreated, right? He's the man who's left by society. He eats out of the garbage. He's licked on by dogs. But when he dies, he goes to paradise. But the rich man, who seemed to have everything going for him, who seemed to have nothing to worry, when he dies, he goes to torment. And when he finds himself in that place of misery, what does he want? Well, he wants a drop of water to cool his tongue. But when he finds out that that's impossible, what does he want? Go and warn my family. Luke chapter 16, verse 27, I beg you, my father, send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers in order that he may warn them, so they may not come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and they have the prophets. Let them hear him. But he said, no, Father Abraham, if someone goes to them from the dead, they'll repent. But he said to him, if they do not listen to the Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. What did this man want? He wanted that opportunity. The opportunity to tell other people, there's danger. Get out. Here's the way of escape. Take it. You can be saved if you just do this. See, the problem is it was too late for him. But it also might have been too late for them as well. Why? Because they wouldn't listen to what was right in front of them. You have Moses and the prophets. You have the law of Moses. You have these men who have been sent by God telling you what you must do. And what had they done? They hadn't heeded the warning. But if someone raises from the dead, they'll believe that. But there's one who's come back from the dead. And there were still those that didn't believe that. Because sometimes the problem is not in the message. It's not in the messenger. It's in the hearer. Because he refuses to heed that warning. The Bible clearly tells us what we must do to retain our salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of Christ in Romans 10:17. When we hear that message, we must believe that message. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins, John 8:24. When we hear that message, it requires us to make a change of repentance. Unless you repent, you will likewise perish. That change must mean a new allegiance. Jesus said, everyone who confesses me before my Father, I will confesses me before my Father, or men, I will confess before my Father, Matthew 10:32. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. You see, we're told what we need to do to find salvation. We're told what we need to do to keep salvation. The question is, do we listen? I don't know what might be holding you back tonight from putting on your Lord in baptism. I don't know what may be holding you back from fully committing to Him and His work. I don't know what might be holding you back from giving the warning to others. But I can tell you, whatever it is, it's not worth it. Don't let anything hold you back from the safety, from the security, from the salvation that lies in Jesus Christ. You know what you need to do, but are we willing to do it? You've heard the message. Are you ready to make the change? Maybe tonight you need to respond to the invitation. Put Jesus Christ in baptism. Maybe as a Christian, you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters. Maybe tonight, the invitation is in your own heart. Maybe there's something right now that you're looking in your life that's saying, that's the thing that's keeping me from my God. Maybe it's time to make a change in your life. Maybe it's time to put away some things that are keeping us from paying attention. Maybe it's time to get rid of the things that keep us from focusing on Him. Maybe it's time to do some things that will increase our faith. Maybe it's time just to listen. If you need to respond to the invitation, we offer you a chance to do so right now while we stand and sing.